Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
This morning, very exciting, we are starting a brand new series that I sense God putting on my heart. We're entitling that The Invitations of Jesus. So what we're going to do is we're going to work through the Gospels and look at some of the invitations that Jesus made to those all throughout the Gospels. And I guess one of the main reasons we're doing this is because the words of Jesus transcend culture and time. The words of Jesus are as relevant today as ever before. And as we wrap up 1 year and head into the next year, I think the most important thing we can do is to ensure that we are still building our lives on the words and wisdom of Jesus. If we're going to follow anyone's advice, any teaching, any insight, it should be the insights of Jesus. So that's what we're going to be doing. And all through the Gospels, he went around handing out invitations to enter the kingdom of God and to experience the fullness of life that only he can offer. And this morning, we're going to look at how we can respond to that invitation and engage with it this morning. So today's message, the first installment of our series, is an invitation to abide. Everyone say, an invitation to abide. Well done. We're going to go to John chapter 15. Go there with me, or you can look to the screen. I found out in the first service we had two people here with a hardback real Bible, so I'm not going to ask how many are in the 11 a.m. because I was discouraged in the 9, but it's all good. Use your phone. The words of Jesus: I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burn. And we're going to jump down to verse 11, the final verse. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. I love that. That your joy may be full. These words, the words of Jesus, aren't just significant because of the fact that they're Jesus' words, but they're significant because of when Jesus shared these words. When Jesus shared this analogy of the vine and the branches, he was gathered with his closest disciples. They were in an intimate setting, and it was actually the night before he would be crucified. So Jesus took this opportunity to share with his close disciples what mattered most, what he really wanted them to carry with them beyond his crucifixion. And in this analogy of the vine and the branches, there's four key characters that I want us to take note of. Firstly, you have Jesus, who is the vine. Then you have the healthy branches, which are authentic Christians. The third character is the unhealthy branches, or the branches that will not remain. And they are people that have showed interest in Jesus, but more so fans. They're not genuinely devoted followers of Jesus. And then finally, we have the gardener, or the vine dresser. And that is the Father. That is God the Father himself. And in this analogy, we see here what we're really seeing, first of all, is that when we trust in Jesus, when we put our faith in Jesus, we are united to him. We become one. There is this communing that takes place between us, Jesus, we are the branches, and he is the vine. And there's this connection that takes place. And the first thing I want us to see is that abiding is about receiving. Abiding is about receiving. You see, the branch receives from the vine. The branch receives life from the vine. It is the vine's responsibility to infuse the branches with the nutrients and the sap and all the goodness that that branch needs to thrive and to be fruitful. If you disconnect the branch from the vine, there's going to be no life anymore. It's impossible for the branch to produce fruit if the branch is not connected to the vine. And why is this so important? It's so important because so many of us, we can be so busy in life that we forget to be really intentional about receiving from Jesus. We can be so busy achieving things for Jesus that we don't stop and remember that we are called to receive firstly from Jesus. As a follower of Jesus, your primary responsibility is to receive for him before you achieve from him. I would go as far as to say it is impossible to achieve things for Jesus if you're not first receiving from Jesus. And we see this right here in verse 4. He says, "Abide in me and I in you." Hear this. "As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." If there's one thing many of us could be more intentional about, it's asking Jesus to fill us with his truth, to fill us with his grace, to fill us with his goodness, so that we're not running on empty. Because if we're constantly giving but we're not receiving, and the well of our lives is not being filled up with who Jesus is, then we're going to run on empty. And Jesus says to us, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." He says, "I am the bread of life. Let anyone who is hungry come to me and you will hunger no more." One of the most amazing parts of being a father or being a parent is watching, once a baby is born, they immediately, almost immediately, instinctually know that they need their mother's milk. They know that they need that nutrients to grow and to thrive. And it blew my mind the first time when Harper was born, how within the first day she knew what she needed and she went after it. And every mum would know that once that baby has tasted and seen that mama's milk is good, they will let you know that they want it when they want it. They will demand it and they will cry as long as they need to get this milk. Why? Because God created them with this instinctual knowing that in order for me to grow and thrive, I need that milk. And I think at times as Christians, we could be more like babies where we go, "Hey, I wasn't created to run on empty. I wasn't created to have a well that's empty, but I need to come to Christ intentionally and ask him to fill me up with his grace and his goodness and his power and his strength. Because after all, I am the branch and I need the vine. Without the vine, I am in trouble." Abiding is about receiving from Christ, receiving all that he has to pass on to us. And the best news is that the only prerequisite for receiving, the only prerequisite for the branch to receive, is that the branch is attached to the vine. The only prerequisite for you and I receiving from Jesus is that we have put our trust and our faith in him and received his grace. We live in this performance culture where we feel like in order to get the outcome, the result, we have to perform the right way. And sometimes we can feel like, okay, if God's going to bless my life, if he's going to fill my life with good things, if he's going to answer my prayers, then I need to perform. I need to jump through hoops. I need to make sure that I'm behaving really well, my devotional life. Everything needs to be in place and then God will bless me and God will fill me. That is not the gospel. But the gospel tells us if we receive his grace by faith, we are then attached to Christ. There is this union that takes place and we are free to receive all that he has to offer us in our daily lives. Jesus will never turn away a hungry person. I dare you, I challenge you, read the gospels. Read the Gospels. Anyone that had a genuine heart that was hungry to encounter Jesus, he would never turn them away. The truth is, everyone abides in someone or something. Every single person on planet Earth, they abide in something or someone. All of us, we go to a place, we go to someone as our source of meaning, or something as our source of meaning and purpose and joy and all those things. We go to something to try and find what our hearts desperately long for. And the truth is, if you've lived without God long enough, you'll know that there is many counterfeit sources out there. There is many things in our society and culture, whether it's success, whether it's a social media following, whatever it is, there is many things that promise so much but deliver so little. Things that we go to that just can't give us what Jesus can offer us. And I'm a family man. I absolutely love my wife and kids and hanging out with them, and they have brought so much joy into my life. Like, the highlight of my life is just getting to do family with them and doing life with them. But the truth is that there is places and spaces within my soul that they can't fill. They bring so much into my life, but there's parts of who we are that only Jesus can fill and only Jesus can satisfy. And if we go to people, our partner, or someone else with a false expectation as to what they should be offering us, we're going to be left feeling disappointed. It's only Jesus that can offer us those things that we need, that desperate hunger we have to be filled in our innermost being. And that's why we see in verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I am the true source." He's acknowledging that there's many counterfeit sources out there that people run to and go to. But he says, "I am the true vine. Come to me." Abiding is about receiving, but abiding is also about residing. 10 times in this text, the word abide is mentioned. Jesus says it around 10 times. I challenge you to find any passage of scripture throughout the Bible that is that brief and one word is mentioned that many times. Jesus is making a point here. He's wanting to magnify and highlight the significance and the importance of abiding. He's wanting us to see the role it plays in our lives. And this, the Greek word for abide in the original language is the word meno. And what it means is to remain or to reside or to, most accurately, take up residence. You're like, "Luke, awesome, you use the Greek, you've impressed me, but what on earth does that mean?" Taking up residence. What this is it's a picture of companionship. It's a picture of us doing life with Jesus, daily life. It's a picture of us doing life under the same roof. It's a picture of connection. And when I read this word abide and unpack it, I almost see like Jesus just sitting on a porch with his disciples, looking out over the fields and just enjoying one another's presence. That's what abiding is about. It's about resting in Jesus and enjoying knowing him and being with him and journeying with him. That is what he has to offer us. And many of us would know that being united to someone, being married to someone, it doesn't guarantee connection. Because sometimes you can live under the same roof as someone, be in the same household, but not connecting. You can neglect someone that you live with. And if we're going to abide in Christ, it requires intentionality. It requires us to be deliberate, to slow down and to create space in our lives where we are connecting with him. And it requires us to say no to some things in order to say yes to the ultimate thing, which is abiding in Christ, connecting with Christ. I take the responsibility of marrying couples really seriously. When a couple asks if I'll marry them, generally I'll meet up with them a few times and want to hear a bit about their journey and talk about how they complement one another. And If I'm going to marry a couple, I always ask that they do some marriage preparation and make sure they're prepared, etc. And some people are like, Luke, chill out. Like, why take it so seriously? Relax, kind of thing. But the reason I do take it so seriously is because the wedding day isn't just about the wedding day, but it's about what comes after the wedding day, which is a lifetime together. And at the ceremony, the union that takes place isn't just about that union in that moment, but it's about what the union makes possible, which is a lifetime of adventure and intimacy and doing life together. And in the same way, sometimes we can have this casual approach where it's like, yeah, I've met Jesus, I've said the salvation prayer, I've ticked that box, one-way ticket to heaven, I've kind of taken care of the spiritual stuff, and now I can just, you know, I want to go on and just live life kind of thing. But in the same way, we need to understand that our union with Christ, that moment where we receive Christ, isn't just about that moment, but it's about what that moment makes possible, which is a lifetime of intimacy and communing with God and doing life together. Yes, the moment matters, but the moment serves the rest of our lives where we get to commune with God. Jesus doesn't just want to be an occasional acquaintance, but he wants to be an ever-present friend. In verse 15, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, but I have called you friends." That's pretty amazing when you think about it. He doesn't just want servants running around doing stuff for him, but Jesus wants friendship with us. Jesus wants to know what's on our hearts. Jesus wants to hang out with us and journey with us. And Christmas is an interesting time because it's often at Christmas time where there's a little bit of family drama going on. Maybe your family's perfect, nothing like mine, but that's okay. I'll be transparent this morning. There's already different dramas and challenges going on with my extended family and all of us getting together, and it's not always fun. But the reason Christmas is an interesting time is because it's often the time that family members gather, family that we love, but we don't necessarily like. You know how you kind of have, if someone's family, if someone's blood, you have to love them. Like you have to say, yeah, I love that person, but that doesn't mean you like being around them. That doesn't mean you love their company all the time. Can we be real this morning? Yes. And the truth is, sometimes as Christians, I think we can take that approach with Jesus. We're like, yeah, Jesus loves me because Jesus is God. And he has to love me because that's what God does. God is love. Like, he loves me. But does he like me? I mean, he loves me, yes, I get that. The Bible tells me that. But does he like who I am? Does he enjoy who I am? Does he enjoy being with me and being in relationship with me and connecting? And some of us, because of the experiences we've had in life with other people and things that have been spoken over us, We struggle to actually believe that. Yes, God loves you unconditionally. He loves you fiercely. He wanted to show you how much he loves you, so much that he sent his son to the cross, but he also likes you. That's what abiding is about. That's what communing is about. He likes who you are. He created you the way you are, with your quirks, with your challenges, all those things, and he only created one of you, and he wants to do life with you. He likes who you are. Doesn't mean he approves of everything we do, but he likes who we are. We have as much of God today as we desired of him yesterday. Abiding in Jesus is about him living in us and us living in him. And that's why this concept of, oh, I've got to go to church to meet with God and connect with God is completely flawed. Or that concept of, okay, I access God through a priest, or I access God through a pastor, or I can only access God through someone who is spiritually elite. Jesus says when he went to the cross, the curtain was torn in two, meaning that we can access God at any time, in any place. He is available to you and I. The question is, isn't do we have access? The question is, are we embracing that access? Are we making the most of that access we have to the Father to abide in Christ? My biggest challenge is I get all of this on a cognitive level, intellectually, theologically. I've been to theological college to study these things, that we are in Christ, that we are the branch, we're attached to the vine. But my biggest challenge, if I'm to be completely honest, is applying this in my day-to-day life, is waking up and throughout my day going, being aware of God's presence in my life, being aware of my opportunity to partner with Jesus, to commune with Jesus, to know Jesus. And I've been on a journey where I've identified that in order for me to be more intentional about connecting with God, I need to unhurry my life, because my life at times is so full and there's so much going on and it's at a pace where it can be challenging. So I've started that journey, but I haven't arrived. And as I go into the new year, I'm going to continue that journey, because I know, I've realized this life isn't just about achieving, but it's about receiving Christ. It's about journeying with Him and knowing Him. And that's the reason we were put on earth. When we get to eternity, guess what? We won't do anything else other than relate to God and abide in Him. So He wants us to begin doing that now, learning what that looks like now. Fruitfulness requires pruning. That's the third thing I want us to see. Fruitfulness requires pruning. Now, the good news is that from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis, we see God's mandate to go forth and to multiply and be fruitful. One of His primary purposes for us as humanity is to be fruitful. Now, the more challenging news. Fruitfulness is always a process. Fruitfulness is always a process, and we see this in verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And hear this, every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it may bear more fruit. Pruning can hurt at times, but pruning always has a purpose, and that purpose is fruitfulness. Right in the heart of lockdown earlier this year, like most of you, we were at home day after day after day after day after day. So we did a few things around the house that we probably wouldn't otherwise do, a few things that we wouldn't normally do. And one of those was out the front of our house, the front yard is surrounded by a giant hedge. And this is not your ordinary hedge. It's very high. It's a big hedge. And one day I'm like, I need to tackle this thing. I need to get the courage up to prune this bad boy. So I got ready to prune this thing. The only challenge is that my electric pruner was about this big. And I didn't realize, I'm not as practical as I should be. I didn't realize that people that prune giant hedges, like, get the attachment, the extension, the electric pruner that's got a blade that's longer. So here's me. To prune this hedge, I got a 2-meter ladder. And to get to the top of this hedge, I literally had to climb not halfway up this ladder, not 3/4, but I was literally, I was standing on the top of this ladder with this electric power tool, which is probably not a good idea. You're like, why would you do this, Luke? I've got no idea. So there I am standing there pruning this thing. And to get to the top of the hedge in the middle, I couldn't even reach. So I was kind of like jumping out and trying to prune branches off. And it was risky. And you ask, how did it turn out? I'll be honest, it's by God's grace that I'm still here today. Because as I was doing it, at one point, I lost my balance. I toppled sideways, dropped from the top of the ladder to the bottom, power tool in my hands. Luckily, just before I hit the ground, I managed to angle it in a way that I didn't hit the blade. Praise Jesus, that is good news. But I got, eventually, after a few days, I'd cleaned this thing up and I'd pruned it and trimmed the hedge and all that. And it looked amazing. I was out there taking photos and Ra was really happy with me. And I was like, see, I am a man after all, because she gets a bit concerned at times. Spend more time in the mirror than her at times, but that's okay. I need to do my hair for you guys on Sundays. Anyway, it required a lot of time and the result was good. But here's what I didn't realize. Pruning promotes growth. So I pruned this thing. I'm like, yeah, that's it for a few years. But what I didn't realize was that when you don't prune something, when you leave it for years, it lays dormant. There's not much growth. And we'd been in a battle with the landlord and the property manager about pruning this thing. We were trying to get someone else to do it, so I eventually did it. And guess what happened? As soon as I had pruned this flipping hedge, it began to grow like crazy. And as we headed into spring and summer, this thing is now out of control, and I just look at it and I'm like, we need to move house, babe. I'm not touching that thing again. And sometimes the truth is, in our spiritual lives, pruning can hurt. God's discipline can hurt. Going through challenging times can hurt. But we need to remember that God only prunes us to promote growth within us. God is committed to us moving forward and growing as followers of Him. And the only way we can be fruitful is if we receive the pruning that He brings into our lives. You see, and the best news is that God isn't any gardener. God isn't like Luke trying to have a crack at pruning this tree and trimming this hedge and ruining it. God the Father, the text tells us, the Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. And He's skillful, but He's also caring. And hear me this morning, God will never prune your life with the motivation of punishment. Sometimes we can be like, what's going on here? Is God punishing me? Why am I going through this? If you are in Christ, you're a child of God, and God disciplines His children, but He doesn't punish His children. God will never prune your life with the motivation of punishment. He will only ever prune your life with the motivation of love, with a heart and a desire to see you grow and be fruitful and for Him to see the right things come out of our lives. That is good news this morning, that it's not us pruning our own lives, but it is a Father who is loving and skillful. And I never saw this before in the text, but as I was studying it, I saw God cares so much about our growth and caring for us that He prunes us both internally and externally. He cares for us both internally and externally. What do I mean by that? We are the branches. Jesus is the vine. So Jesus passes on the nutrients, the sap, the goodness, His grace, His strength, His power, His love. He passes on that to us internally. But then the Father comes along and He cares for us externally by pruning us. He brings things into our lives and allows us to go through things externally that refine us, that ultimately lead to a character that is Christ-like and a life that is fruitful, that it advances the kingdom of God. That is how good the Father is. And that's why we can rest in Him, and we don't need to be anxious about our growth. I don't know if you're anything like me, but sometimes I'm like, God, why is my growth so slow? Like, I wanted to be beyond that. I didn't want to have that attitude anymore. I didn't want to feel that way anymore. Like, God, why aren't I growing at a more rapid rate? And if we're honest, I think all of us feel that way at times. Like, I want this process of becoming like Christ to happen quicker. Like, it can be frustrating. But the good news we see here is it is God the Father who is primarily responsible for our growth, not us. And the reason for that is because the gospel change in the Christian economy, the kingdom, is about internal change first. It's not about us going on a self-improvement plan where we fix ourselves. We can rest in His work in us and for us. And you say, what does that mean? We can do whatever we want and don't have to do a thing. No, we have a responsibility to yield to the work of the Spirit, to cooperate with the work of the Spirit. I've heard it described this way, that when it talks about the work of the Spirit in our lives, if you're crossing a lake and you've got a sailing boat, it's our job to put up the mast, but then what is it? It's the wind of the Spirit that then takes us to the destination we need to get to. So we have this responsibility to yield and cooperate, but it is God's work in us that makes us the people He wants us to be in Jesus' name. And the truth is, the more we focus on ourselves and our own shortcomings, the less fruit we produce. But the more that we fix our eyes on Jesus and who He is and His finished work on our behalf, it says that His work was more than sufficient for us. When we fix our eyes on what He's doing, what He's done for us and what He's doing, that's when we see the fruitfulness explode in our lives. As the worship team joins me, I want to look at verse 11. The final verse in this passage. Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." That your joy may be full. One of the greatest benefits of abiding is that we get to experience the deep joy of knowing Jesus. And when I talk about this fullness of joy, we're not talking about superficial happiness that comes and goes, that's with us when we wake up on the right side of the bed but is gone in an hour. And we're not talking about this surface level happiness, but we're talking about this deep joy that takes us through the most challenging seasons of life, this deep joy of Christ that takes us through global pandemics and those moments where we feel like we can't keep going, and he instills that in us. He instills it in us, this deep full joy in us. And one of the things that I think this global pandemic has revealed is the importance of a good internet connection. I mean, all of us have spent hours and hours at home throughout the lockdown, and if you didn't have a good internet connection and you were working from home, you were in trouble. Like, having a bad internet connection throughout COVID has just been it's not fun at all. And here's the thing, it doesn't matter how much money you spend on your internet account, it doesn't matter how great the provider you are with is, what matters is that you have got a connection, because the connection, what does it do? It makes a world of opportunity available to us, the world of the internet available to us. It opens up the world of benefits of the internet. And in the same way, sometimes when we go through life and stuff happens and we face certain challenges, we can feel like the strength of our connection with God just begins to diminish. And sometimes we can feel like, yeah, I know God on an intellectual level, like I go to church, all those things, but I'm not sensing His work in my life. I'm not sensing that supernatural connection where I sense His presence and I'm communing with Him, and there's this incredible connection taking place. That's what life can do to us. It can harden our hearts where we get to a point where our sensitivities towards the presence of God has decreased. And what I love is that communion is an opportunity to once again come back to the Father and say, above everything else, God, I just want to know You. God, I just want to commune with You. God, I just want to connect with You. And Jesus, I want to abide in You. And communion is a celebration of the fact that Jesus has done everything that needed to be done for us to be able to commune with the Father, to be able to live with the Father, to be able to enjoy Him.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.